www.thebeatmedia.com. It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. We're coming to you live this afternoon from National Larex. It is time for the top four at four. Tennessee point guard Kennedy Chandler selected by the San Antonio Spurs with the 38th pick in the NBA draft last night. His rights were immediately acquired by his hometown Memphis Grizzlies. Six Vols have now heard their names called in the last four NBA drafts. That's pretty incredible, Bear.
Yeah, I never thought we'd see it, like, ever.
Kennedy becomes the fourth one-and-done draft selection in Tennessee history following Tobias Harris in 2011 and Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer last year.
I mean, it's going to be fun watching these guys play in the league, and it, like we talked about last hour, it's definitely, for me, has turned me back an NBA fan because I've got guys that I rooted for at UT that are now playing.
30th draft pick for Rick Barnes in his career, dating back to 1990. Among active head coaches, Barnes has developed the fifth most NBA draft picks. Over the last 13 years, Barnes has seen 13 of his players selected, and he's now coached 8 one-and-done players as a head coach, and 7 one-and-done players already in the NBA. 4 of those have won at least one NBA championship.
That's why I think it's so important for Tennessee in football. We've got to start getting guys back in the draft.
Yep.
Makes recruiting so much easier. That's why, you know, Vitello and Barnes have it a lot. I mean, it's just a lot easier for them to recruit that high-level talent.
Well, they did well this year, right? I mean, what, we have 6 guys drafted?
Yeah, but I'm talking like first round.
Oh, yeah, we need more first-rounders. I don't think they've had a first-rounder since Derek Barnett.
Golly, it's sad.
Yeah, that's pretty wild, huh? Number two, University of Tennessee Board of Trustees today approving Tennessee Athletics' request to adjust the scope and budget of the ongoing Neyland Stadium renovation plans that have were originally approved way back in 2017. The budget now up to $288 million.
That's just – it's not my money. That's all I can say to that. That's – I don't know. And I know this stuff has to be done. Like, it's just vital to the local economy. Economic sense of it.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got to get that stadium right, man. We got to get football right.
Yeah.
I think they go hand in hand. But, yeah, I can tell you some of this worked in the hospitality industry for the past most of my life. The money is rolling a lot more when Tennessee's good at football in the fall.
I just want to win. I just want to win. We went through with a fine-tooth comb all those renovations in hour number one. If you missed any of that, go back and check the podcast. Moving on, number three here, New Orleans Saints star running back Alvin Kamara is expected to be suspended for at least 6 weeks of the upcoming 2022 season. According to a report from Pro Football Talk, Kamara was arrested in Vegas on the day of the Pro Bowl earlier this year for battery resulting in substantial bodily harm. I'd forgotten about this. I mean, it just...
That was so a weird news. One where it was... From what I've seen, he probably went a little bit too far, but... That's just a bad – that's why I wouldn't want to be famous, man. Remember, that was that weird deal where the guy wouldn't leave – I don't know. I need to look it back up. But that was a guy that was like – wouldn't get away from him, right? And they ended up beating him up.
I'm reading the whole story. I mean, who knows, right? Surely there's some video of this somewhere. But victim told police he was waiting on an elevator with a group of people that included Kamara at a nightclub. Elevator arrived. Kamara allegedly tried to stop the man from entering, put his hands on his chest. The man said he then pushed Kamara's hands off his chest. Sounds like a drunken club thing we got going on here. Next thing you know, you got a shoving match. And then the next thing you know, fists are getting swung. And the guy said he got knocked down to the ground, punched, kicked, lost consciousness, took a whooping.
Maybe should have waited on the next elevator.
According to a report on the incident, Kamara allegedly punched the man about 8 times, with 3 swings coming while the man was on the ground.
Yeah, that's what I meant. He went a little too far.
Guy suffered a orbital fracture. Surveillance video from inside the club verified his recollection. So 6 games for AK, man. That's going to be very, very tough on the Saints as they begin the post-Sean Payton era there.
Who's there? Is Jameis going to be their quarterback again?
I guess so.
Wow. Poor Trey. All the Saints fans.
They did sign. Did they sign Andy Dalton?
They may have. Is he kind of like Ryan Fitzpatrick to you?
He's become the new Fitzpatrick, yes. He inherits that role. He's got 3 or 4 more teams left in him, too.
Oh, yeah. He'll win a lot of football games, too. But I don't think he'll ever win. You're not going to win the postseason with him.
Finally, number 4. Slugger Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees agreeing to a 1-year, $19 million contract, avoiding an arbitration hearing scheduled for today. Judge can make an additional $250,000 by winning an MVP award and $250,000 for World Series MVP, 2 goals that look rather obtainable at this point. 30-year-old Judge in the middle of perhaps his best season. He's hitting .304, 27 homers, 53 RBIs, and 68 games for the Major League leading New York Yankees.
Yeah, I don't want to. I wonder what they're going to do. Because, you know, I wonder if they're going to just re-sign him and let him go out as a Yankee. You can't let that guy go.
He turned down a $213.5 million offer in the offseason.
I mean, what do you.
You imagine? I want a little bit more. $213.5 million isn't enough. I really need $250. That extra $40 million is critical. It's a different lifestyle, Barrett.
I mean, he is the best player on the New York Yankees. I mean, that's like negotiating a contract for, like, Powerball money. That's $250 million. And like with Judge, I mean, he's your best player. What boggles my mind is Jimmy coaching shorts guaranteed Deshaun Watson that same kind of money.
I thought I read something that said that there was a way they could
get out of that
hook. That there was some language in that.
Huh.
What did who has the biggest contract now? Is it Mahomes? Wasn't he like $500 million?
I think so. I don't keep up with the contracts as much. I would imagine he's the highest paid player in the league.
I thought Mahomes signed like a $500 million deal a couple of years ago.
I know Minka Fitzpatrick just set the record for safeties. So
yeah, Mahomes has the second highest contract in all of world sport, $503 million over 10 years. He averages, get this, his per game, that breaks down to $2.4 million per game every time he steps out there on the football field.
Maybe I cut some of that money off and out, yeah. And maybe send his brother and his wife to congeniality school or something. Teach him how to act out in public.
You would hope. Good point. Messi had a 4-year deal with Barcelona for over the equivalent of $673 million. He was getting $3.7 million every time he stepped out there for a soccer game.
Yeah, I saw there was that top 10 list. I mean, there were surprising names on there.
Mike Trout, number 3. Canelo with his DAZN boxing contract is number 4. Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
Red Bull Racing is number 5.
He's got a huge – he makes – him and Hamilton. Hamilton should be in the top 10 as well. I mean, those guys are making – I'm pretty sure Hamilton makes $50 million a year, somewhere in there. So it's the same kind of deal. It's over $2 million every time he gets in the race car.
Deshaun Watson's contract with the Browns is the 23rd biggest contract in professional sports history. This is a pretty interesting list. You can go look at this on Wikipedia. Go through it.
I mean, it's
trying to see if there are just any bums on this list.
There's really not. That's what I was getting ready to say. Most of the guys on this list are at the peak of, you know, whatever their professional sport is. I mean, Verstappen's dominating Formula One. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is dominating the NFL.
Who's the highest? Tobias Harris is number 49 on this list. How about Tobias, one of the top 50 contracts in pro sports history?
He's worth every penny.
A max deal with the 70s. Is he worth it? 5 years, $180 million?
Sure. It's Tobias Harris, man. I always pull for Tennessee guys, man, no matter what. He earns every bit of that.
He signed a bigger contract than the one Durant signed with the Warriors.
Maybe he'll go lower.
Tobias is kind of a poor man's Durant, isn't he? Like,
yeah.
A little bit shorter, a little bit slower, a little bit less athletic,
What was it Jimmy Butler said? Didn't he call them out for it during the playoffs?
Yeah.
He said something during the game.
He was making it sound like they chose Tobias over him, which apparently is not entirely accurate.
Just Jimmy being Jimmy.
Yeah. All right. Top 4 at 4 brought to you by National Law Rex. We appreciate their longstanding support of the show. Come check them out here at 11134 Kingston Pike. I do have Smokies tickets. If you want to take a 9-inning vacation, if you're in West Knoxville right now, swing by National Law Rex. I'll hook you up with a family 4-pack of Smokies tickets. These are field-level seat vouchers that'll get you into any Smokies 2022 home game. Swing by. Just tell me you're listening to Fan Run Radio, and I'll hook you up right here this afternoon at National Rx. Get set to talk to Evan Russell about his Tennessee baseball career. As when is the baseball draft, Bear? Is that coming up here?
I think it's next month. In July, yeah. Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. So let's say Ortega doesn't get drafted high enough to where he's ready to make the jump. I mean, he could come back, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's like it is in football and basketball.
As long as they don't hire an agent.
Well, you can have an agent now in college sports.
Yeah, I don't know how it works. Like, I was trying to think of the guys. I was trying to remember the guys that could come back.
I think you can. I mean, because there are a lot of guys that get drafted, you know, out of high school and then go, and they can be redrafted. I believe that you can stay in the draft, get drafted, and then go back to school.
Yeah.
If you want.
Which I also kind of wish that basketball and football would do that as well.
Do you think Kennedy Chandler would consider coming back today if he had that option?
I think had he not gotten drafted by the Grizz,
yeah,
by Memphis, I think
the Spurs had just kept
or the Nuggets or, you know, some bottom tier team. Sure, I could see him coming back. Well, I'd love it. His Camden Sewell hasn't made an announcement yet, right?
Good question. I thought I saw somewhere that he did say
he was going
pro.
Oh. Yeah, good luck.
I'm Googling it right now, and I don't see anything, so I might be just imagining that.
It's another one that's going to make me really sad. I love Camden Sewell. I'm a kid. I love all these guys.
I know you do, buddy.
They've been so much fun to watch, man.
Well, I mean, just imagine this. next year's team going to be just as fun to watch, if not more so. I mean, who would have thought sitting here a year ago that, I mean, that team that went to Omaha, we all thought that this past year's team would have taken a little bit of a step back. I know nobody thought it was going to fall off the cliff or anything, but you lose so many guys.
Spence,
off
Pavone,
a team
that, who else?
Yeah, that went to the College World Series, and not only did they not take a step back, they actually took a step forward. I know the end result, they did not go as far, but to be number one for as long as they were, the record was better, won the conference championship, the tournament championship. I mean, just buckle up, man. This Tennessee baseball thing is going to be just a wild ride for the foreseeable future. We'll talk to Evan Russell about it when we continue. Stay with us. You're listening to The Drive, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming online this afternoon at fanrunradio.com and your free Fan Run app. We pause ever so briefly. Back with Evan Russell coming up next right here on The Drive.
The Drive.
A good night's sleep. All right, welcome back. It's The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith coming to you live this afternoon from National Law Rex out here in Farragut. Bear back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios this afternoon. Bear, do we have our guest?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go to the Newsmaker Hotline where Evan Russell, the now former Tennessee baseball volunteer, joining us on the show this afternoon. Evan, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Good, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing very well. Thanks for jumping on with us. Man, I know it's – is it weird being introduced as a former baseball player when that's been such a big part of your life the last 5 years?
Yeah, man. Listen, you know, people call me former. Don't even really seem real. I guess the time will ease pain, but being a part of these program and, you know, I'll be able to say that I'm a proud Vol for life.
Evan, we have Bear, is this a rough connection? Is this on my end, or do we need to try and reconnect with Evan?
Yeah, I'm going to pull you off and then call you right back. I think you may be in a bad cell.
Okay.
All right, we're going to reconnect with Evan real quick here. That was kind of a rough listen. Maybe we can get him off an earpiece or Bluetooth if that was a part of it as well. Bear, you troubleshoot that with him behind the scenes, and then just let me know when we are back and ready to go. In the meantime, I want to tell you about our friends at Jet's Pizza right across the way here out in Farragut. Delicious pizza. If you're looking for something to feed the family this afternoon or this weekend, might I humbly suggest delivery from our friends at Jet's Pizza. You can go eat it there as well. They got a great bar set up and a great family area that you can dine in as well. They're at 11124 Kingston Pike, right next to the Shrimp Dock out here. And their phone number for delivery is 865-675-0505. Tell them Fan Run sent you. Any style crust you want, they've got it for you. Detroit style, deep dish, hand-tossed round, New York style. Any way you want it, they will do it out there. It's one of the things I love about Jets is the wide variety you've got there. You can also do dessert. They've got great chicken wings out there as well. The chocolate chip cookie or the brownie. Either way, you can get it out there. And don't forget the deli boat and the Jets boat sandwiches, calzones. As the great Cody McClure would say, great. It is fantastic. And as I said earlier, they are looking for help out there. If you're looking for a little part-time work, they are looking for drivers and inside workers at Jets Pizza in Farragut. Stop by and tell them you heard about it here on Fan Run Radio. All right, we're going to try again. I think we've got Evan back with us. Evan, you got me?
Yeah, I got you. You got me?
Yeah, it sounds a little bit better. We'll go move forward here. We were just talking about your UT career and the fact that it's over now and you're on to the next chapter of your life. Have you had a chance to kind of look back at the last 5 years and just take stock of everything that you've accomplished?
You know, man, at the moment it's kind of tough, you know, getting having to watch other teams continue to play. You know, whenever a lot of people feel like we should have, you know, continue playing or be continued playing as well. But you know, it's kind of a really cool feeling to look back and see how far the program has came over 5 years, or as long as myself. So you know, it's a very very cool moment to be able to look back and say that I was a part of something that was a little bit bigger than myself.
Well, just everything that changed while you were here, man. I mean, you committed to the previous coaching staff. Coach Vitello shows up. I mean, just talk a little bit about the evolution of the program from, I can't imagine how different it was from the day you set foot on campus to what Tennessee baseball is right now.
And, you know, I don't even know where to start, because if you weren't a part of it and if you weren't, you know, involved, then it won't even make sense. But Coach Vitello, he came in and he was on a mission to really change the entire dynamic of Tennessee baseball, and started with literally everything that he could do. It was in the weight room, every practice, recruiting, getting the right people in the locker room and getting the right people out. So, man, I remember my freshman year going into my dorm room, dreading practice, and you know, I'm basically in tears of having to go through long hours, because you know, it was not easy what they were putting us through and what they were expecting of us. But you know, in the moment, you couldn't tell that they were trying to completely, you know, change the program. And you know, changing the culture is not easy, and it takes a lot of hard work. It takes, you know, the coach buying in, but also the players buying into it as well. So to be able to have a run like we did this past season, and to see guys like Blake Burt, Chase Burns, you know, it puts you in a good position for where the program has come, but also puts you in a real nice position to know that it's still in some really good hands.
When you talk about that struggle your freshman year, you said it was just not fun, those first couple of practices. Was that something where you think Coach Vitello, looking back on it, was trying to maybe weed out the guys that couldn't hack it? Is that something that got easier as things went along? Or was that just an adjustment to, hey, this is SEC baseball now, and they take it super seriously, and it is hard work all the time?
Yeah, you know, during the moment, I just thought that this was, you know, the norm for how SEC baseball was going to be. But looking back now, our strength coach, I'm sure Coach B and my strength coach, Quentin Eberhardt, was told that they needed to figure out who really wanted to be here and who didn't. You know, because there were a lot of times where it felt like a boot camp, to be honest, and it was not fun at all. And there was a lot of days where we weren't even playing baseball. We were just, you know, developing discipline, mental toughness, and, you know, I think they knew that we didn't have a lot of talent when it comes to physical abilities, but they had to basically get rid of the gap by giving us mental toughness.
So at what point did that kind of ease off? Was there a point where it was like, okay, we've weeded out the guys that can't hut it. You know, the point has been made. It's a new regime and a new day and age for Tennessee baseball. Was there a point in year one or later where Coach Vitello and the strength coach kind of accepted, okay, this is our crew. We can work with these guys, and we're not going to make their lives miserable anymore?
Yeah, I think we started getting recruits like Jackson Lee, Drew Gilbert, Jordan Beck. You know, it was evident that those guys were immediately going to be able to make an impact on our team. So as soon as we started getting talent, you know, we started really doing well, and we started to, you know, kind of ease off, and, you know, creating army soldiers, you know.
Visiting with Evan Russell this afternoon on The Drive. Evan, you took the term fan favorite to a new level here this year, man. You just had this interesting connection with the fans, and there were, you know, great players on this team. You had crazy Drew Gilbert, who you mentioned. You had Beck and the whole Mike Honcho thing, the great pitchers. But I think for you, being from Tennessee, the fans kind of knowing your story as a guy who walked on, you had the 3 home run games last year. I'm just wondering, what did it mean to you at the end of the season there? You missed the South Alabama game, all the publicity that received, and then you come back that next game against Campbell, and the fans are welcoming you back. I think you pinch hit late in that game. They're chanting your name. What did it mean after everything that you went through that week to come back and be embraced by Tennessee fans the way you were?
Man, it was that was probably my favorite moment as a Tennessee baseball player. You know, the 3 home runs were cool. You know, the super regional win my senior season was cool. But just knowing that I had literally given, you know, every single ounce of my will to help change a program and to, you know, just create an identity for myself and something that my family and the fan base could be proud of. And for that to be recognized, even whenever I was, you know, at a really low point, for it to be recognized by basically an entire fan base, you know, that was probably the most surreal moment that I've had as a player.
Yeah, I mean, it was a special moment for sure. Were you worried that might not be the case? I mean, you've spoken a little bit, I think, about what happened that week, but was there any part of you that when you're coming back, that, man, I just don't know what kind of reception I'm going to get here?
You know, I was worried. I was worried a little bit that, you know, the entire fan base was going to call me, you know, a coward for running, you know, and you know, I was afraid that my reputation was going to be completely flipped. But I was also afraid that I had let my teammates down to a point, you know, that was going to be a distraction and that they were going to have different, you know, versions of me in their head. So, you know, there was fear of coming back and there was a lot of nerves and stuff. But, you know, I think everyone deep down is going through things that is under the surface. And even if you're a college baseball player on the best team in the nation at the time, you know, you can still get caught up with negativity and start looking for, you know, fulfillment in the wrong things and other people's opinions. So, you know, everyone's human, and, you know, I kind of had a human moment. And you know, it was awesome to have a bunch of good people and a bunch of support kind of have my back, and it came as an entire fan base, it felt like.
Evan, if I'm prying too much, you just let me know, man, and we'll move along. But I think fans are interested. Can you shed any more light on what happened? Were you just having a panicky situation? Did you just reach one of those points where you have to step away from the thing that is causing you so much pressure and anxiety?
Right. And, you know, the pressure and the anxiety really come from baseball. You know, but the entire anxiety feeling that I was getting was kind of from my future endeavors. So, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. We're fighting through it, though, Evan. Go ahead. I think I've got you for the most part here.
Okay. Yeah, but the anxiety and stuff was kind of come from what my identity was about to be. And I knew my season was coming to an end, and I was I was kind of fearful for my career coming to an end as well. And a lot of college athletes, they go through, you know, a time period after they're done playing where they have to create a new identity for themselves because their sport is all they know. And, you know, I was worried that based off, you know, all the talk from opposing, you know, scouting reports that I was the weakest link of the team and, you know, and a lot of some fans from other teams, you know, basically saying that I was not a natural catcher and stuff, that I kind of got frustrated that my career was about to be over. And, you know, the frustration was coming from, you know, basically looking for other people's opinions on myself and knowing that I'd put a lot of time and effort of learning a new position, basically for the team, but also to keep fighting with my head above water to try to keep playing the game that I love. So, you know, all the anxiety and stuff kind of was building up on me. And, you know, I didn't really handle it the correct way, in the way that I should. But, you know, I'm glad that I had a lot of people, you know, show forgiveness and show mercy, even whenever they, it would have been easy to give up on me.
Well, I think just anxiety problems are so much more common than we think. And I know it's something that I've struggled with and that Bear at the station has struggled with. And it's one of those things that, like, if you just admit that, hey, that's what's happening, I think people, Evan, are so much more forgiving. And it's just something that we understand a lot more. And for some reason, it's something that with modern life is just a lot more common these days. You mentioned you thought your team, you were worried that the team might feel like, you know, you had quit on them or let them down. What was the reception like when you did come back the next day?
Man, you know, my teammates, they were happy that I was okay. You know, they were in the dark. They didn't know what was going on. And, you know, for basically 5 years, you know, I kind of the attitude in the locker room where I was the people pleaser. I was trying to boost people's confidence, make sure everyone's, you know, excited to be playing, you know, keep them high energy, you know, keep the vibes in the locker room really good. And you know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed being around the guys as well. It's kind of my release. So, you know, they were shocked. They were confused on what was going on, but, you know, they didn't bombard me with questions, and, you know, they could understand, even if they didn't know exactly what I was coming from, they could understand because, you know, in some ways, everyone deals with, you know, their own concerns, their own worries, their own stress, and, you know, at that moment, I think mine was at a point where stepping away, even for just a day, was probably healthy for me.
Sometimes you just need a little space, man. I could totally empathize with that, Evan. I think most people can. I mean, I know that's what was horrible timing for that to happen to you. But hey, man, when you need some space, you need some space. And I just think speak for all Tennessee fans when say that, hey, man, I'm glad that it worked out for you and that you were able to get back and at least finish your career on the field.
Right, right. And, you know, the support that they've shown me and shown throughout the situation, and you know, it became a bigger deal than I would like for it to have been, but, you know, I've really received nothing but positive comments, especially for people that are in my close circle and that I care about.
Hey, last thing on this, Evan, and then we'll move along. With regards to what happened with ESPN and the guy – making the drug test allegation, which was obviously false, and then UT coming out and demanding an apology, and I guess they got one. Are you satisfied with what happened? Is that in the past, or is that something that you're still bothered by?
You know, people make mistakes. You know, my number one goal right now is to be a baseball player. And, you know, I want to continue being a baseball player because it's not necessarily my identity, but I truly enjoy the game. I enjoy, you know, I enjoy working for something that is a dream, and it is my dream, and I want to chase it. And, you know, there's sometimes where the anxiety and stuff and the stress can be looked at as a weakness. And under my circumstances of being, you know, a fifth-year senior and just now learning a position, in the upcoming draft, I really don't have, you know, the widest margin for having an opportunity. So for any comments to be, you know, put about me negative in any sort of negative way and for any blemish, You know, that can decrease my opportunity, you know, completely. And it, even those comments brought this thing to a little more little to the public than what I would have liked. And, you know, hopefully this thing can be read, you know, very soon where you don't have to have anything happen and you don't have to pursue anything. But, you know, there are always options.
Evan Russell with us this afternoon. All right, Evan, let's talk about what's next, man. You're going to give pro ball a shot, obviously. What are you? Are you going to play catcher at the next level, or is it kind of just wherever a team wants me type of thing for you?
Yeah, I think my best chance is the versatility, man. You know, I'm not a Yadier Molina or anything like that, but you know, I was able to take care of a pitching staff that was pretty hard to handle. Even for anyone. So, you know, I take pride in having, you know, very few balls and very few wild pitches and, you know, and growing relationships with young guys and doing my best to have them prepared. So, but my ticket is going to be the versatility, being a good guy in the locker room. Yeah, and hopefully, you know, if you stay around long enough, and you might end up, you know, having an opportunity to do some cool things.
Yeah, no doubt. And I guess from my standpoint, the thing that stood out about watching your evolution this season as a catcher is, you know, obviously teams ran on you a lot at the beginning of the season and you weren't throwing many guys out. And then at the end of the season, all of a sudden something clicked and you started throwing guys out left and right, Evan. So I would imagine if, you know, pro scouts are watching that, say, here's a guy who was an outfielder his first couple of years. He switches to catcher. He's catching all these dudes who are throwing gas back there, and he's doing a pretty darn good job. And as he played more and more, he got better and better with his moves to second base and throwing guys out. Do you think that development over the course of the season will play in as a strength for you as well?
You know, it's hard to really evaluate that because, you know, the game plan for our entire year, it come from the coaches along with the players. We all kind of agreed on it, you know, being our game plan is we had the power arms, we had the power bats. You know, if someone gets on first, we're not really going to worry about them getting to second too much because we can strike the guys out. You know, and that game plan was working to a point where, you know, it was kind of tough, especially with young guys on the mound, because if you want to pitch in the SEC, it's very difficult, and especially as a young guy, to control emotions and, you know, to simplify everything. And, you know, from the coaching staff, the leadership of myself and other pitchers, basically we needed these young guys to get up there and be comfortable throwing strikes. You know, and we didn't really care about them worrying too much about holding runners and, you know, doing all that. And, you know, as the season progressed, they naturally got better at holding runners. And I think that kind of led to me being able to have some success as well, especially, you know, late in the postseason.
Interesting, interesting. Well, Evan, just looking forward. We appreciate you being generous with your time. I know you're going to have to run here in just a second, but got to ask you about the future of the program. You know, you talk about what it was when you stepped on campus as a true freshman to what it is now, and you're leaving Beck, Gilbert, Tidwell, a couple really nice players, but there are some really nice players sticking around, and I know Coach Vitello is an excellent recruiter. He's bringing in more and more talent. What do you think about the future for Tennessee baseball? Do you see this team being right back there in the mix again as a team fighting for a spot in Omaha?
You know, man, I think winning has become the norm in our program. I'm not sure if we'll ever win as many games and have the high a winning percentage as we did this year again, but I do think there's a national championship opportunities in the future for Tennessee, you know, and guys like Blake Burke, Christian Moore, you know, Chase Burns, you know, those guys are far beyond talented than I could have ever dreamed of at that age. So I would say, you know, even though we lost Drew Gilbert cannot be replaced. You know, he is a phenomenal player, phenomenal guy to just to have on a team. But I think the team and the program is in very good hands. And you know, Luke Lipsius, he got a nice home run record, but if you watch Blake Burke, that thing is in danger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talked about that towards the end of the season. Like, Luke and Evan can have that record for a while, but Burt might shatter that thing here in a couple of years. Hey, Evan, really appreciate your time this afternoon. So great catching up with you. Glad to hear you're doing well and focused on your future, man. We will be following your career in professional baseball with great interest. Best of luck to you, my friend.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
Yep. Evan Russell, one more time on the drive, and apologize for the rough phone connection. There's really nothing we could do about it. I hope that wasn't too much of a distraction. I know I enjoyed the talk there, and there was a lot to unpack coming out of that conversation. We're going to do that when we continue. I'm live this afternoon here at National RX doing the thing on a Friday afternoon. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back and sort of reset everything we just talked about with Evan after the break on Fan Run Radio.
You know, here at the Craigner Group, we're always looking for trustworthy realtors to join our team. If you
All right, welcome back. It's the drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell LeBaire back with you on a Friday afternoon edition of the show. So that was Evan Russell last segment there. Tough connection fought through. I hope that wasn't too much of a distraction there, but it was some interesting conversation. I don't know, Bear. We tried to reconnect with him. It didn't sound much better.
Yeah, I think he had to have been in a bad cell or something was going on his end. So
I don't know. I just, like, phones suck, man. I've noticed that here the last 5 years is, like, the connections are worse and worse.
Oh, yeah. It's insane. Half the time when I call the Cub, it sounds like he's a robot and talking in a very slow, you know.
Yeah, I don't know
weird.
What that is. I mean, you would think with phone technology as great as it is that
think for $130 a month
the phone, yeah, is to be able to speak on it, you would think that would be better.
Yeah.
And,
But any, I mean, regardless, it was still a very interesting interview.
Yeah, I mean, I'd never heard the stories about Vitello when he first got there, I guess, going with the Junction Boys routine, trying to weed out the weak.
I mean, I hadn't either, but doesn't surprise me. And I feel like that's what most highly successful coaches do when they walk into a situation like he walked into. Find out
going
who
there and lay down the law.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even so much that. Just like this is the amount of work it takes to be successful in this sport. If you're willing to do that, you're welcome. If you're not, you know, maybe this isn't the place for you.
And then the stuff about his anxiety issue was I don't know if he's given other interviews. That's the first time I've ever heard him speak openly about that. And he was very, you know, it's a hard thing to ask somebody about publicly on the radio. And
yeah.
I was very impressed that he was willing to speak on it publicly. But
I mean, it's hard to talk about because it's
yeah.
People, if you don't have them, you have no idea how just absolutely, I mean, terrifying they are. I unfortunately have them and have them bad and have had moments, unfortunately, where it hit hard and it kicks in and you it's a fight or flight response.
Yeah.
And you just have to take off, man. You got to get out of whatever situation you're in. So, but I'm glad he's feeling better. Like you said, I felt like he ended his, you know, very illustrious career here at Tennessee the right way on the field.
Well, it's just interesting to me, you know, we looked at, you know, all athletes, but this team in particular as, you know, these fun loving guys. And it's like the Indians on Major League, you know, the movie.
Yeah.
And it's all fun and games in there, but man, they under a lot of pressure. And I can totally empathize with like what he was talking about, how it's his last time playing at Lindsey Nelson. His college career is almost over. What does that mean? You know, his pro prospects are not what Jordan Beck's are. He's not a huge guy. He's gonna play pro ball. He's gonna do that and try and fight his way to the big leagues. But it's gonna be hard for him, and he's not gonna have the, I don't want to say easy path that he's had at Tennessee, but you know, he's obviously he's a champion at that level, and he's about to have to start over and climbing that ladder.
Yeah.
And if you're prone to anxiety, I can totally see how that would be just a lot to deal with, man, and something that could get to you.
It's hard to describe, but I can't imagine. I mean, I can, because I have anxiety attacks, and you just have to learn how to manage them, even in stressful situations. It's not a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's got to be hard, because it was a distraction for the team, and they were able to overcome that. They won the regional, and I don't think it was I don't think it had any impact on them losing the super regional. But you don't know how your coach is going to respond to that when you come back. You don't know how the players are going to respond. So it sounds like everything worked out all right. But I remember, I mean, we were sitting right here. It was maybe 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, when I announced that I'd taken my cup off.
Yeah, we were all excited about the and then it was right about now, right about 5 o'clock that day, that all of a sudden we started hearing these rumors that, hey, something's going on with Evan Russell. He's not with the team. And we had heard, it was kind of scary, because one of the things that I'd heard was that he had disappeared and that nobody could reach him. And we didn't talk about this on the air, but hearing all these different things, and it was like, man, I hope this guy's okay. And now we kind of know what was going on. It's kind of
I understand 100%.
Do what?
I totally understand it, everything. But it go ahead with what you're saying. Triumphant return.
Yeah, it's a triumphant story. Just that whole piece of it is, you know, that he was able to come back and it didn't have any impact on the team, and it might have even helped him and other guys that might be going through something similar. So interesting stuff. And you know, he talked about the whole throwing guys out. You know, we tried to tell people, everybody's worried about the catcher, you know, pitchers not holding guys on, catchers not being able to throw anybody out. And I mean, Vitello had talked to us about this in the season. People just didn't want to hear it.
Yeah, but he was adamant about it.
It's going to be the same. It's going to be the same thing next year. Even if you get this dude Skeens, we're going to get run on. That's a Frank Anderson deal. That's, he wants his pitchers to concentrate on striking guys out, generating ground balls, and getting batters out. He doesn't care about base runners. I shouldn't say he doesn't care about it, but it is not the concern that it is at other programs or maybe in the big leagues.
I mean, in Frank's defense, how many times do you see I've seen it all over college baseball this year, programs that do the exact opposite and, you know, are constantly trying to pick somebody off, hold them on first base, and you know, pitcher gets distracted by all that and forgets that his primary job is the guy in the batter's box that he needs to get out. So,
but I'm sure it's a narrative we'll have to combat again next year. But I find that piece of it interesting as well. Although he did really improve, man. Like as the season went along, like it got to the point right at the end there when somebody's running on Tennessee, almost expected us to throw him out, which at the beginning of the year, it was, why are we even bothering throwing?
I mean, it wasn't always on him. You know, our pitchers.
No,
just,
it never was.
No, huh?
I mean, that's the point. It's not on the pitchers either. That is their philosophy.
Yeah.
It's almost like lining up in shotgun in short yardage situation.
Oh, sure.
Like that's just the way they coach it. That's the way they don't care as much about the run. Yeah, they would rather not give up the stolen bases, but the primary objective is getting the batter out.
Well, and
stay with us. Okay. Hour number three of the drive just around the corner. We got Mark Nagy coming up here next hour. If you want to jump in, now's a great time to take a shot. 865-546-8200. The drive continues next on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. Office Furniture Outfitters has